Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Genesis, chapter 24. Genesis chapter 24. I'll read a little bit here in just a second from that. I do appreciate the opportunity for being here, and I appreciate all of you that have come, my family, Bob and Sandy. I appreciate you coming, being in the service tonight. And I certainly covet your prayers that God will stand with us, that He'll help us. And I desire to do anything I can to help the people when I stand. We need help. We're living in a day of time. We need help. We don't need to be beat up, but we need help. Don't need to be stomped on. We need help. And hopefully tonight the scripture that we're going to read and what God's give us. In my studying, I've been looking probably for a couple of weeks in this area, in this chapter, and it got so big, there's just no way that, I don't know how long it would take me to preach out everything about it. I know I don't have the strength to do it tonight, but we got a few things that we want to share with you by the help of God. If God doesn't come, there'll be no preaching. There's only going to be words that would be said, and I've been in services. I'll never forget back years ago, we was in a service and a pastor of the church, the Lord came down in a mighty way. There was an old fellow that got to praying down in the basement. He'd been praying for God to move in the church. And the pastor, of course, wrote out all of his sermons. And I'll never forget that Sunday morning. God got a hold of me, for one. I was listening to that fellow pray. And the next thing I knowed, I was somewhere over here, and the pastor lost his sermon, never did find it. I don't know where it went to. But there was about seven, I believe, that was down in Sigourneysville, Jane, at that church that was saved that morning. And God's still on the throne. He's very, very much alive. The God I serve is not dead. There is a God of the world, but I'm talking about the true and the living God. So look with me for just a minute in verse 64, if you will, and we'll see what the Scripture has to say, and we'll see what God would have us to say from it. The Bible says in chapter 24 and verse 64, "And Rebekah," listen to this if you will, listen closely, "And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel." Now, we may read a little more here in a minute, but right now that's all that I want to read. But I want to say something else. It's important that we lift up our eyes unto our Heavenly Father, is it not? It's very important that we do that. And the Bible teaches us to lift up our eyes unto the hills from which cometh our help, because our help cometh from the Lord, doesn't it? Unless He helps us, we'll have no help. There was something else that I was thinking about in this passage of Scripture and studying and asking God to give us what should be said tonight or preached about. But I want you to think about something. The text that I'd like to use tonight is this: God's camels are coming. God's camels are coming. And they are coming. And they are available. Let me go ahead and tell you that they are available tonight for every child of God that is here tonight. God's camels are available for those. And in looking at a camel, one of the things in particular that kind of stood out to me is they have a very long legs. And, you know, there's some men here at the church that's got pretty long legs. And if you don't have legs that are long as them, you can't keep up with them as well as you'd like to. They can take larger steps, if you will, than somebody that's got shorter legs. In my thinking, in my praying, God showed me that it's necessary, and you've heard this part before, that it's necessary to put legs on a prayer. But what I was thinking about even today as we were studying, that I believe that it's in the dark ages that we're living in, that we ought to put some legs of length on our prayers. And we ought to step out more than we've ever stepped out. It's necessary for a Christian, individually, for us to make larger steps for the Lord in our lives, in trying to find out what that He would have us to do, and being willing in our hearts to do what God would have us to do. And if you've been listening, and hopefully you have in the services, and I've been hearing our pastor talk, and he's talked about the missions and expanding the missions and how God has expanded, and you see, that's putting longer legs on our work for the glory of God. And that's exactly what we need to do. Now, another thing that I want to mention is a camel, when it moves, it doesn't, it has the capability of moving slow, or it has the capability of moving very swift. And a lot of times, they do move very swiftly as they go across the desert, you see. Now, a lot of times in life, you and I are in the desert, amen? And if you will get out in the desert, you're going to find that there's not a whole lot to eat out there, and you're going to find that there's not a whole lot of water. And I want to get and touch on those things, if we can, here maybe in a few minutes. So it's necessary. I believe we drag around sometimes for the glory of God. I believe we drag around in our Christian lives sometimes. And I believe that it's necessary for us to move faster than we've ever moved for God. Do you not agree with that? So you see, we find here that the camels are coming. And Rebekah, the Bible said, lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. So there's a time, you see, in our Christian lives that it's good and necessary for us to have a lift, if you will. And there's many times in our Christian lives that things come about and we get down and we get depressed about a lot of things in life. It may be sickness, or it may be some problem that a family member or a friend might have that we love so dearly. And it's necessary sometimes for us to trust God for a lift. Now, you've heard the story that they was 4 feet, but when the person looked down, when they was in trouble, there was only 2 tracks that was being made. And certainly that was the Lord that was carrying that individual through those problems and trials. I have found in my Christianity, because we are a child of God, does not mean we don't have problems. It doesn't mean that we don't have troubles that are going to come in our lives. It doesn't mean that our finances aren't going to get low, you see, in our lives. But whatever situation that we may arrive in this life, I want you to know that God has got a camel that's coming our direction, and that will give us the lift that we need to carry us across the dry desert that we may be walking in. We may be dry as far as needing water ourselves, but we find that the camel knows exactly where that the water hole is. And we find also, you know, I thought today the pastor called, and I was studying while he was when he called me, and I was thinking along this line. I want the Lord to touch my nose in such a way that it'll be directed in the way of the water hole, that I'd be able to find the wellness of the Lord that's springing up into everlasting life. Oh, you know, know what the Lord said one time in His precious Word? He said, out of my belly flows rivers of living water. Aren't you glad tonight, brother and sister, tonight, those that are even lost in the depths of sin, there's water that's springing up. There's no dryness, thank God, in the Lord. There may be some dry spots along the way. There may be a dry desert that's out there. But somewhere, if you travel far enough, there's going to be water. The only thing that is necessary is that you have what you need to carry you to that water hole. And that old camel will do that. Oh, hallelujah. I was reading and studying about the camels. It's not every nation or every country maybe that uses a camel. Uses a camel, as some of them choose donkeys. And the reason they choose a donkey at some places rather than a camel is because they want to use a saddle and they want a little more comfort, you see. And they don't want to sit between those two humps. And that, sir, it's a little bit rougher that way. Well, let me tell you something today. If you're traveling with God, it doesn't matter how comfortable that you may be. And that's not what counts to today, and what counts is that He is carrying you to safety that you need and security. Oh, listen today, beloved. If there's ever been a day and time that we need to lift our eyes up into the hills from which cometh our help, it's the day and age we live in. I read also, you know, the camel's got long eyelashes, and they've got those long eyelashes to protect them in the storms where the sand I will get up and won't maybe get in their eyes where they can see. We have a lot of things that the devil will pass our direction that he wants to show us, and he wants to get sinful things in our eyes to keep us from seeing the holiness of God. And if you start looking at the sinful things of this world, brother, you're not going to see the holy things of God like you need to. Another thing I want to move on. But another thing, they've even got fur in their ears, and that's to keep the sand from them. Let me tell you something. The devil's going to use everything he can in this service tonight, or in any other service that you come into, from hearing the Word of God. I'd like we need to hear it today. So listen, beloved, today, and let's open our eyes, and let's direct our nose, and let's open up our ears. That's what God has to say to us. If you will, notice something else. Now I've got plenty. I'm trying to move along here, and hopefully I'll be done by 12 or 1 o'clock. But stay with me. Don't run off. There's a lot of good in this scripture today. Do you know something else? A camel is very intelligent. They may not look too pretty, but they're intelligent. They're a very intelligent animal. I may not look too pretty, and I'm not too intelligent either, amen. But they are. They're intelligent. And you know, we need to be intelligent. And I think anybody that serves God is intelligent, amen. They may not have no master's degree as far as college is concerned, but I believe if you chose the ways of the Lord instead of the ways of the devil, if you chose heaven, brother, and over hell, that tells me you're intelligent. Hallelujah to God. I tell you what, the next time somebody calls you a dummy, if you're saved, you say, I'm intelligent. I help you to know I'm saved by the grace of God. Intelligence can get you somewhere in life. Everybody awake? All right. If you'll notice something else, a camel to the people over in the Holy Land and the places that uses camels, they're kind of like a ship, if you will, but they're a ship on sand instead of a ship on the oceans. But they carry you to the distance that you need to go. That's all that matters. It doesn't matter how God comes down and lifts us up and carries us through the storms of life. or whatever problem that may be arriving, whether it's a loved one that's passed on or someone is really sick in your family. When people get real sick, it's hard on other people in the family. Now, I know through the sickness, I've had a lot of sickness too since 2002. I was various things. I know it's been hard on my wife. There's no doubt in my mind. I know that it's been hard on her at times. But you know, God can carry us through those storms. All He wants us to do is just look at the direction that He's in. Amen. Let's don't be looking down. Amen. You'll run into something if you will. And don't be looking back. You may trip and fall. But keep your eyes on Jesus. Amen. And He'll lead you. And He'll guide you in the paths of all truth and righteousness. That's what the Bible says that He'll do. So I thank God for that. Amen. Now, I want you to notice something else that God showed me. I like trusting God for a message. Amen. He always sends the right one. Camels travel in very harsh places. So there's a lot of harsh places that we have to walk as Christians in this life. But they make it through, amen. They make it through. God give them some padding on their feet, brothers and sisters, to where they don't step on a lot of thorns and things and hurt them like they would if they didn't have the extra padding that they have on their feet, amen. So God's camels are coming, amen. They're coming. And notice here. So Rebekah lifted up her eyes. Amen. And then verse 65 said, "For she had said unto her servant, what man is this that walketh in the field to meet us?" What man is this that walketh into the field that meet us? And the servant had said, "It is my master." For she took a veil and covered herself. Amen. And the servant told Isaac all things that she had done. You know, I believe God wants us to tell Him of all things that we have done. Not anything that we can brag about, but if we've sinned and come short of the glory of God, we certainly need to tell God about that. I want you to notice the camel is what I've been talking about. The camel is a burden barrier, amen? It's a burden barrier. And so Rebekah was to ride. She wasn't to lead that camel. It wasn't her job to lead that camel. It was her job to ride that camel, amen, and not to lead it. Her load, if you will, was to rest upon that camel. That's exactly what God, I don't know, there's got to be something tonight for somebody. God wouldn't have pressed this after the last 2 weeks if it hadn't have been meant to be, but somebody maybe here tonight needs to rest their load. You're carrying some sort of a load. I don't know what it is, but you and God does. But God wants you to rest your load on Him. Amen. Bring it to Jesus. I found that's the best place to take any burden that you have. You can't carry them old burdens. They'll wear you down. They'll wear you out. They'll get you to where you'll be in the awfulest shape ever was. You won't be a person anybody wants to be around. Amen. If you carry an old burden around like you don't need. The only burden we need to carry around is the burden for the lost people. Amen. Carry a burden that the church will grow and prosper for the glory of God. Those are burdens that are good to carry, but these other old burdens that we carry around, they need to rest upon something. So she rested her burden, if you will, upon her load, upon that. And the Bible says this, the Bible says casting all, amen, not part of it, but the Bible says casting all of your care on Him. For what? For He cares for you. Aren't you glad that the Lord cares for you tonight? So the number one thing I want you to notice, the camel is a burden barrier. And the second thing, a camel is a weaner. Amen. And I'm not talking about a pal's weaner. Amen. But it's a weaner. And if you'll notice here in the scripture, the carry carried Rebekah. It carried her away from her kindred. It carried her away from her home. We find here in the Word of God, and Jesus said, except you forsake your father and your mother. Amen. So you see, tonight God wants to send that camel in our lives that's a wiener that will carry us away from things that we would never be able to walk away from in order to serve Him in the way that it would be pleasing unto God. That's why that God would want, God don't want you to just step and leave your father and mother and run off somewhere and be pouting or mad or something like that. But if God lays it on your heart to go into the foreign countries or somewhere, maybe in the United States, I just serve Him and to work for Him. God wants us to be a wiener, amen, and be able to pull ourselves away from family or kinder or home or anything else of this world, even our own church, if you will, in order to serve Him in the way that He would have us to serve Him. That's the only way you can really, really be blessed by God, is to follow His directions. Now, I'm not too far from the end, so just pray for another minute or two. Jane was with me when I used to preach real long. But God was in it, and that's all that mattered, and the people stayed. We find, I told you earlier, they've got an unusual nose, a camel does. And now in the desert, they can smell water like maybe we wouldn't be able to smell the water if there's any around. And I want to tell you something else. Pastor, this is for me, and this is for you, and this is for any other preacher that's here in this church house tonight. It's for all of us preachers. God doesn't want His man to have a broken nose. God wants us to be able to smell the wellness of the Lord, the water of the Lord, in order that we can give it to the people that they can enjoy the Word of God. Amen. So if I've got a broken nose, I certainly can't give anything good to the people, and especially the people of God that needs it tonight. I've got to have a nose that smells the water that He has to pour out from heavens in order to give it to the people of God, that they'd be blessed, that they would be helped, you see, along life's way. A couple more things I want to mention right quickly if I can. I mentioned his hoofs there a while ago, and he's got a cushion, if you will, around his hoofs, and that enables him to walk upon the sand and in the desert. A Christian in this life needs to be able to walk above the world. And God is the one that can enable us, or can concussion our feet, if you will. He said that He was a rock even in the weary land. He said He was a shelter, did He not, in a time of storm. So God can enable us as we're walking through this Christian life. He can cushion us in such a way in our souls and our hearts to where we can walk above the sinful things of this world. Now, I know we don't have our perfect body yet, and I take that into consideration, but we can still walk above things that we don't always walk above if we would really ask God to cushion our feet to do so. We could walk in places in a holier way if we really desire to. So, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying, let's pray, oh God, cushion our feet, that we can walk above the sinful activity of this world and be a better child of God for you. Be a better witness for you. Be a better preacher. Be a better teacher. Be a better deacon. Be a better whatever you may be in the church, whether it's just somebody that comes and prays, God help me, that I'll pray more for the preacher when he preaches, and pray for the church, pray for the missionaries like that I need to. All right. Notice one more thing here. I've got two more things I want to mention. We find that a camel is known for their long teeth. And when they're out in the desert sands with nothing to eat, those long teeth can reach through all the horny cactus and be able to get down in there and get the food that they need to get. That's where we need to be. We need to be able to get in the Word of God. Amen. And get the meat of the Word. I want to go and tell you something just real quickly, if I will. When I said the meat, it made me think of something. Eagle, they fly and soar real high in the air. If you really study them, occasionally there'll be an eagle that will actually go down into the valley. And they'll actually light on the ground in that valley. And they'll walk around. And they'll walk around. And a day goes by or 2 days goes by and they'll walk around. And at the same time that there's dinner, there's other eagles that are soaring high in the air that may have a piece of rabbit, a piece of meat or something. And they'll actually drop that down into that valley after they see that those eagles aren't flying out. They'll drop that meat down into that valley wanting that eagle to walk over and take it. And there's some that will actually go over and take it. And when those that take it, that gives them strength because they've lost so much strength. They've spent so much time in the valley. If you spend a lot of time in the valley, you're going to get weak. I don't care how strong or what you've done for God. If you get in a valley and if you stay there and you don't make any effort to get out, you're going to get so weak that you're not going to be much benefit to nobody or God or nobody else. But those that take the meat will get strength to where they can fly out of there, you see. But there's others that will actually die. There's eagles that will walk around and reject. Now, I've done studying on this, so I do know what I'm talking about. They will actually walk around, and they'll get so weak that they will die. And you and I, as a Christian, if we don't receive the meat of the Word when we come to the house of God, we'll die in that valley. So when the preacher, whoever he may be, our pastor, whoever he may be, is giving you the meat of the Word, I believe we're giving you some meat tonight. You need to take that meat. Don't be ashamed to come to the altar and ask God for the help that you need to get out of that valley that you're in. One more thing that I want to bring to your attention. I'm going to come to a close with the help of the Lord. There is a camel that has only one hump. There is a camel that's kin to the camels that actually does not have any humps. But there's camels that we know more about that has two humps. And those two humps, of course, is to carry water supply. And hopefully there'll be enough water that's in those humps to carry them the distance wherever they need to go across the desert that's so hot and so dry. But God designed them, went just another step further. Not only did God give them two humps to carry water in, but He gave them a triple lining in their stomach to where they could carry just a little bit of additional water in case that they didn't have enough to go the distance. They'll have enough there in their stomachs to carry them the rest of the way. God has supplied us with everything, every source, everything that we would ever need to make it from earth to glory. May my wife come and sing a song. We've worked together a long time, and I'd like for her to come and sing a song for me. I'm glad of what God has done for me, brother. Amen. I'd have never made it without Him. Would you? Never, ever. Lord, I could stand here all night and tell you the things God brought me through. And I stood last night very heartbroken, and I told Jane, I said, I'm going to do everything in my power to try to make it tomorrow night. And I'm here, and I made it. Maybe the last time that I'll ever stand to preach, I don't know. But listen to me. The camels are coming. God's camels are coming. And there's a camel for you, the pastor. There's one for our song leader to ride on. Hadn't there been times, even just recently, that you needed a little lift, didn't you, brother? And wasn't he there to supply it for you? Why, I saw that you've been here leading that singing when you wasn't able to. God just carried you right up on the stage on that old camel. Ain't God good? I wish I could preach for another 2 weeks. I love preaching. I love preaching. I've only been preaching about 48 years, so I'm just a young man in the ministry. Any of you boys 18 years old? None of you 18 yet? Any of you wish you was? I was 18 years old when I started preaching. I was 7 when God gloriously saved my soul, boys. I'll never forget that because it was so real when God saved me in an old-fashioned tent revival. And the next day, I remember the next day after I got saved. Can I tell this church? The next day, I went up the street and there was 8 more little boys that was playing in behind one of them's house. And I went up there, and they said, what are you doing, Winkle? And I said, I went to a revival last night, and I started crying. Mom and Dad took me to a revival, tent revival. Dr. Oliver B. Green was preaching. And I started crying. One of them said, Winkle, what are you crying about? I said, I got saved last night. And I looked at them little boys through my teared eyes. And I said, boys, if you ain't saved, I said, God save you. They said, would you pray for us? And all 8 of them got down on their little knees and prayed and asked God to come in their lives. Even when I was even younger, and my sister's a witness to this, I used to stand with a little green New and Old Testament Bible, green-backed, on our front porch in Cotton Mill Village, and they'd be 10, 12, 15 kids sometimes. We'd be out there and they'd sing Amazing Grace or some songs, and then it'd come time for me to preach. And I'd get up out of one of the lawn chairs and I'd stand there and try to read that Bible, just a young man. Mom, Dad'd be inside the house. And I don't remember what I said, but I preached somehow to them kids. And it worried my mother. And Mother used to tell Dad, she'd say, Herbert, I'm worried about Larry. And he said, Della, don't you worry about that boy. He's going to be fine. Well, here I am tonight, 67 years old now, preaching. God, I believe, had His hand on me when I was just a boy. And you know what? He never has took it off. Oh, I feel Him way down deep. I feel Him. One of these days I'm going to quit preaching now, but it's going to be God's doings that'll do it. And I'm going to go sing in that heavenly choir. Oh, we'll sing then, Brother Fred. I won't be coughing because my voice gives me problems. You won't have no throat problems. Oh, we'll sing, we'll sing. Well, I'm going to try to turn it over to you. I appreciate you trying. She's got a bad cold, and I asked her today. I said, I know she wasn't feeling well and had an old cold. And I said, if you will, I said, I'd love it if you'd sing a song after I get done preaching tonight. It means so much to me.
I love you, church. I appreciate coming here, and I appreciate you letting me be a part of you. And I appreciate our pastor, and I appreciate him letting me stand tonight. It's probably been stammering and all of that, but it's been from the heart. And it came from up yonder to here to out here.